You're listening to Around Comics, episode 217, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Afro Samurai by Funimation. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. You dropping some books there? if you're in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here, and we're going old school. It's got the original gang back.
Yeah.
We've had
2009.
Well, it's been 2009 for a while.
Yeah.
This is the
first show of 2009.
This is the
almost didn't happen. It was a close call today.
Yeah.
It's the inauguration episode. Tomorrow's inauguration day.
Right.
Yes, it is Sunday.
So, no, it's Tuesday.
Oh,
Tuesday.
All 20th. Barack Obama, Spider-Man coverage.
Good Lord!
That's all we're going to talk about.
We'll be tweeting from the inauguration about any Spider-Man sightings.
Yeah. Did you guys read the Larson Wacker fight on CBR?
No,
that happened today. Well, it kind of happened today, but I guess Eric Larson was bitching on CBR earlier in the week about how he felt betrayed by Marvel because they stole his idea.
They're the only ones that, or he's the only one that can use Obama.
Well,
on
the cover. Same thing happened back in the day when Spider-Man met up with Saturday Night Live. I believe that First Comics. I don't even think First Comics was around at the time. The Badger hung out with Saturday Night Live as well, and.
And then
Mike Barron didn't appreciate it at the time.
Steve Wacker,
mm-hmm.
he came on there later and posted about it and sort of called him out on it and stuff. But I just thought it was funny because it's like, really, we're arguing about cheap stunts to sell bad comic books?
Who gets to do the cheapest?
Yeah.
Who's the
biggest opportunist?
Yeah.
It's like, I thought of clearance sale first, or, you know, it's like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, everyone knows that they had the issues with McCain ready, too, at the same time, ready to roll out in case McCain won, and now they've all been sent to the third world
countries. Think that Eric Larson was going to be doing any comic with a McCain on the cover.
There's a bunch of kids in Africa reading a Spider-Man comic where... McCain is on the cover of a Spider-Man. It's like when you
they
have
think
the
he's president.
Yeah,
they're really sad because think he.
And that's not just in comics, because I have a Cardinals 1987 World Series championship shirt. Stupid Twins.
They
got those things. They print those things up ahead of time.
He says we don't live in the past, huh?
Yeah.
Over 20 years ago.
I'll always agree with hating the Twins.
They've won a World Series since then. I don't know what you're...
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Winning is a great salve. I'm Christopher Niesman. This is Mr. Tom Caters.
Hey.
And Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
Get everybody introduced there.
Should we announce our 2009 motto right now?
Yes.
It's the listener's fault. Is that what it's official? It's your fault.
Especially Matt Kramer.
Yeah.
It's his fault specifically.
If you're not posting on the forums, it's your fault. If you don't like something on the show, it's you haven't read the right books.
Yes.
Or you're not reading the books correctly.
If you couldn't get the Obama variant cover
for fault.
Amazing Spider-Man, it's your fault.
Yeah, you have a job. Too bad you couldn't show up at a comic book shop and line up.
But you know what isn't your fault?
What?
Getting good deals.
Okay.
And you can do that at InStockTrades.com.
The master segue.
Yeah.
InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free.
Fantastic.
So, I do want to make a quick note here.
Yes?
Art Balthazar is supposed to be on tonight. We don't know where our art is.
He's missing an action.
You've seen him.
He may have frozen in place because it was like negative 20 today. and
it's cold.
I think we're approaching.
Hey, it
zero.
Went up. You know, only in Chicago can you have, you know, a 20 degree increase, and it's three. You know.
Yeah, it's gonna be 24 degrees tomorrow, and that's a freaking heat wave.
I don't know what the big deal is.
You're from Green Bay.
It's like Canada.
Yeah. whatever. Oh, it's a little cold.
Hey, we got a big shout out to the Canadian listeners later. So.
We do.
Yep. What?
You know, we have
a boot.
Speaking of Art Baltazar, he is going to be a guest at our convention this
maybe.
Year. And, yeah, maybe.
He shows up. He might not.
You know, we should probably go ahead and let people know if they hadn't already heard. Which, if you're a forum member at Around Comics, you would have gotten the email on it. But the Windy City Comic Con 2009, we made our announcement. We told you we'd be doing it around the first of the year. So here it is. Mark your calendars now for Saturday, September 19th. From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Center on Halsted, same venue that we had it last year. And we told you it was going to be bigger and better. And
we lied.
And I think, it's going to be smaller, half
worse,
the space.
Really
more
bad.
Expensive.
Yeah. More expensive.
Five creators that you've never heard about, yeah. And one guy selling nothing but Image back issues from the 90s.
Cosplay, though.
Lots of cosplay.
Lots of. Yeah.
I got my cosplayers in line now because... There's a girl on MySpace, Kirsten,
oh, God.
That she came to the show last year, and
yes.
And after she enjoyed it so much, she started a MySpace group for Windy City Comic Con.
A cosplay?
So, well, she's a cosplayer, and some of her friends are, and she complained about the fact that there weren't enough costumes at the show. So I went on there and said that if you're a cosplayer, if you wear a costume to this year's show, and you find me... By you know asking somebody there where I'm at, and
oh
you
co- God,
and you tell
going?
Me how great the MySpace well you have to go to the MySpace group and find it, and there's a message you have to give me, and if you do that I'll give you something free.
So little incentive. Dressed as Zorro.
I will be dressed as Zorro. How did you know I had I own the Zorro movie authentic sword
really?
Replica? Yes, I do.
Of course you do.
I do.
Of course you do.
That's yeah.
Nice. Well, hey, back to the con real quick. We told you it was going to be bigger and better, and it is. We're adding, what was it, about 20, 25 creators?
Yeah, like 20, 25 creators, something like that.
Some of the, we won't go through the list of all the creators.
God,
which
thank you.
We already have 40 guests that are confirmed. They'll end up being nearly 70 at least. I'm just going to say some of the new people that are coming this year. Tony Akins, the artist of
Jack of Fables.
Art Baltazar, maybe. Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt, the creative dynamo behind The Damned, one of our favorite books from a couple years ago. Matt Kent, who is the Kent, is probably how you pronounce it, does Super Spy for Oni, among other things. The Pistol Whip series. Mr. Andy Kuhn, who I saw his band, The Fuglies, play last Saturday. He's the artist of Fire Breather and... I think he did.
He's been doing tons.
Rex Mantooth with Matt Fraction way back, and
yeah
he did some Marvel team up stuff, I believe.
It's a real renaissance man.
Yeah, and it's not confirmed yet, but you may have a chance to hear the Fuglies after the convention this
possibly.
Year. Possibly. So we're working on that. One of our favorite past guests and favorite creators, favorite writers is Mr. B. Clay Moore.
Past guest on the show.
Past
not,
guest
not
on
to the Windy City Comic.
Yes, past guests on Around
Comic Con. New to the Comic Con.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Old to you.
really excited that Clay's going to make it up. Chris Somney is going
to
be here.
That is I'm looking at the page. That is a handsome group of comic book
isn't
creators.
Isn't it? Oh, gosh. Ryan Stegman. Zach Krusey. Hi, Zach, because I know that Zach listens. Brent Schoonover is going to be here.
Yes. And Brent was very upset that he didn't make it last year.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
really looking forward to it.
He cried.
Yeah,
he cried
on my shoulder.
And, cried.
Mm-hmm. And I would say the majority of the guests that we had last year will be back, in addition to these fine folks, and many, many more announcements to come. So
yeah, we're not done, that's for sure. We got a bunch of... more people mm-hmm. to hopefully announce.
Yeah.
Gift bags again. So pre-register at the site. Tickets are $10.
$10 this year. Our prices went up because the costs of
yes,
the
cost,
things
the
went
the
up this year.
But hey, $10 for the guest list that we're going to have and the lineup of exhibitors. It's going to be
is
well.
Is Barack Obama going to be there?
I'm working on it.
We'll see. We're going to track
happens.
Him down and you know, see what we can do on that.
I'm talking to a guy who knows a guy.
Who knows a guy.
Yeah, it's a Chicago thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, that's all of our announcements for there.
He's the guy.
Yeah, the guy.
Hey,
shit's
my
gold. It's Khan's gold. He's not gonna give away a table for free.
Yeah, he just asked me what his cut was gonna be because you don't get nothing for free.
No,
he's actually was like four blocks from me.
And so it's probably your fault he's so corrupt.
It could be.
Living in that close of a
proximity
to you, when, you know. I know it's what makes me evil.
You were evil long before I ever met you. All right, so there you go. Windy City and...
September 19th.
Yes.
10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Website.
Windy City Comic Con with only two C's in Comic Con. C-O-M-I-C-O-N.
Comic-Con.
.com.
Comic-Con.
It's not Comic-Con.
Comic-On.
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 .com.
Yes, Windy City.
Windy City Comic-Con.
Watch out, Wizard.
We also have a Facebook page. We also have a Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter. It's Windy City Con.
C-O-N. Look who decided to show up.
There he is.
It's Art. Later.
Tuna. Good. How's it going, Art? Okay.
All right, come on down, sir.
Left the house at 5:26.
Oh, man.
I made it.
Well, as long as you got a heater in your car.
Yeah, man.
We'll take a seat. Hey, first of all, thanks for coming by, man.
Oh,
it's
good
to see you.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Good to see you.
I'll shake your hand again, sir.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about Windy City Comic Con, so
man.
You're going to be a guest there.
I'll be there.
All right, awesome.
Cool.
All right, starts at 10.
All right, I'll leave at 6.
It's hopefully September, though, so hopefully...
Well, it's not in the winter, yeah.
It won't be so bad.
During rush hour. Chicago.
Well, I tell you, let's go ahead and introduce our guest now. This is, of course, Mr. Art Baltazar, who is one half of the creative team behind Tiny Titans.
Yep.
And welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir.
It's good to have you.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
No. Thank you. But, you're seeing how sad it really
is. Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome in a very, very small bubble.
Well, I'm glad there's headphones here. Yeah.
At least one pair. We just have the one pair.
That's all right. Well,
that's all we can afford.
To...
Yeah.
The Peanut Gallery.
Well,
they're always here. It doesn't, you know.
It has nothing to do with us.
No, Art is yet another of the incredibly talented comic book creators that call Chicago home.
That's
even
right.
Though apparently you're a Northsider now.
Yeah.
What's that like going from a Southside to Northside?
I was on Southside for 38 years. Now I've been up in North for
38
two years.
You can't be a day over 25.
Yeah, I'm 40 now.
Wow.
Christmas Eve I was 40. So I'm an old guy now. I'm at the top of the hill now, looking to the other side.
Well, you know, Sheryl Crow said that 40 is the new 30.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think 30 might be the new 40.
Huh? You're just getting started.
I'm just a new 40. I haven't been 40 for about a month. Not even.
Well, happy birthday. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
So,
I need some cake.
Norton, you know, Norton usually brings like cookies and stuff. So you know,
I like Norton.
Where is Mike? I haven't heard him, haven't seen him, haven't heard him.
Been around. I think he's on Deadline, so you know him. He's always on Deadline. Right. That's how Mike.
He can't say no.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Tiny Titans, and then want to find out how you actually got started with Tiny Titans.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, Titans, Tiny Titans are the Teen Titans, but they're really, really little. They go to school, and they don't fight anybody. There's the bad guys are just bad kids, like troublemakers, and the principal of the school is Slade, and substitute teacher is Mr. Trigon. And then I think the next issue is going to be a Faces of Evil book, but it's called Faces of Mischief, and Darkseid shows up, takes over the school a little bit. And, let's see what else is there. There's going to be a detention issue coming up with all the bad kids are in it, you know. The Frightful Five are in there.
Nice.
Instead of Dr. Light, they have Plasmas, but there's still five. I counted them.
Still five of them involved.
Yeah, Plasmas, a big jelly-like guy. He's got a secret crush on Bumblebee, and she's my favorite character. And I kind of try to squeeze her in as much as possible. But they're, that's it.
You know,
Plasmas used to scare me when I was a kid.
He's a good guy now.
Is he?
Yeah, he likes swinging on swings and eating candy.
Perhaps
it,
I might have still found that frightening.
A
slightly unsettling.
You had done an interview with our buddy John Suntress back a month or so ago, and if you want to hear more about art, go check out John's interview. It was a really fun time. But one of the things that John had mentioned, which I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, is that whenever you guys started Titans or Tiny Titans, it was a really select group, and you've been able to really expand the universe and really cherry pick a lot of you know, good and bad guys from the DC universe. Is it cool to be able to use Darkseid?
Yeah, it's awesome. That was actually a special request by Dan DiDio, and they sent me reference and everything. It was kind of cool. They sent me J.G. Jones's drawings for reference, and I was like, oh, cool.
Were you like, I know who Darkseid is?
I was going to draw him like he looks on a Super Friends, you know? But then they said, no, he looks different now, so I drew him, so he was pretty cool looking. And but when I first started the book, I wanted the George Perez characters, you know, with Beast Boy with the red and white. Originally on the original cover I made, Beast Boy had the black and purple outfit from the TV show. And I showed George Perez, and he asked me to change it to the red one. I will. Everyone else is in their own costumes, you know. So I tried to put the old characters or the classic characters with the new team, like Kid Devil and Miss Martian, and so they all kind of blended together. And the new team, more like Miss Martian and Kid Devil, are like the preschool age, so they're not even in school yet; they're like in daycare. But every issue, we got this whole big like encyclopedia of Titans. So we go to a bunch of different websites and check them out and look over the team rosters, and we're picking guys like on the last issue, Red Star was in there, and Hotspot's going to be in the next book.
Digging deep. digging deep.
And Offspring's going to show up, the stretchy guy. Yeah. And I got the Atom in there, and his family, the Adams family. They show up. I think that's issue number 9. So it's kind of cool to have all these guys in there. And Lobo's going to be the gym coach in one of the books. So it's like they're in there for the classic readers, for the classic fans. And kids usually don't ask the questions that everyone thinks they're going to ask. Like if the number one thing about Ravager, if I had to call her Rose, because I think Ravager would be a good kid's name. So we call her Rose. And everyone always asks me what's underneath her eye patch. And I'm like, her eye. You know?
Yeah.
I assume she's like wearing eye patches. Yeah. She don't knock it out till she's a teenager, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. What's you know, for maybe some of our less DC affluent listeners out there, that is Deathstroke's daughter in Titans, and Deathstroke, Mr. Slade, is the principal, right?
Yeah, that's right. He wears a coat too and a tie.
Oh no!
So, Dad, do you guys pretty much have carte blanche with the stories and what you can do and what characters to use? You can do pretty much anything.
Yeah, Jan Jones is the editor, and she was in charge of making all the new kids books. And she called me out of the blue one day, and I didn't know that she worked for DC. I know her from conventions and for like the girl who would always come and buy comic books and drawings and paintings from me. So when she called me, I thought it was just how's it going, you know? And then she asked me if I want to work for DC, and I said, yeah, one day, probably. And she goes, no, man, like, I'm offering you a job.
Tomorrow.
I'm like, wow.
Oh, sure, yeah, someday I would love to.
And I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
No, you don't understand.
And I said, you're the boss? She goes, yeah. So I didn't know that. So she's been there for like 6 years, and I never knew that I was selling stuff to the DC lady. So, so it was kind of cool.
That non-knowledge must have worked in your favor.
And it's weird because when I met all the DC people, all the different editors, I already knew them from the conventions and me selling them stupid drawings for a dollar. And they already knew me, and I knew them. And when we went to DC offices, that like all the offices had like a crayon drawing of mine, like of the Flash or Superman on their wall. And I was like, wow, these guys know me for years. Yeah. Man, you guys could have called me all this time.
You know? All of a sudden,
why didn't you call me earlier?
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, art gets really dark.
But it was kind of cool. Yeah. And that's it.
I like the idea that George Perez has like carte blanche to tell it. Like, you have to change it back. And yeah, it's written into his contracts forever that
Beast Boy, where's the red and white.
And it was cool because no one saw the cover. It was so secret, but I wanted to show him. You know? Yeah. And he goes, oh, I did see this before. That's you. I was like, yeah. Come on, me and you, George, we create Titans. Yeah.
That's
so it was
awesome.
Cool because Jan was a big fan of Patrick the Wolf Boy,
mm-hmm.
and she read the trade, and I got like four trades, and so she read the trade, and she let the people at DC read it, and she wouldn't let anyone borrow her copies, so she made the other editors go to the store and buy it. So, after they read that, when they called them about the Titans, they said they want the Tiny Titans to be just like Patrick the Wolf Boy, but with their characters. So that was
perfect situation.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I'm already doing that. So I just started erasing all my old characters, putting costumes on them, guys.
Could it have been a more perfect situation? I mean, obviously you were a comic book fan before working for DC.
I'm a kid.
And I was on your website and noticed some of the old cartoon stuff that you had done from like the I can't think of it. I was gonna say Warner Brothers. But
the
Bugs Bunny stuff. I mean, that stuff was like amazingly, pitch perfect.
Yeah, it was
stuff.
Cool.
It was very very cool. Some Tex Avery stuff in there.
Yeah, and I used to do a lot of. I did the coloring books and activity books of Animaniacs and some Warner Brothers stuff, but I got real good at drawing Animaniacs, Wacko Yakko, Pinky and the Brain. And it was hard to draw Bugs Bunny, but I got through it, but it was tough.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny's real hard to
That's
draw.
That's a nice position to be in when the toughest thing is I can't quite get Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated. Gotta go see a Starbucks.
Well, whenever you're working for Warner Brothers, maybe that's not the best position.
But
cool. Animaniacs was great. That was kind of a precursor for the Batman animated series. It was Paul Dini was writer on that.
It's a great show.
Yeah, it was ahead of its time.
It was taking that classic Warner Brothers stuff and reinventing it for another generation. They did it so well where, they kept all that goofiness and silliness and played on that, but made it, more...
But it was smart, so
it had that
adult appeal, which I think is a lot like Tiny.
You guys
were what, like almost 10 issues in, 9 issues in?
Yeah, number 12 comes out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay,
like 11.
Next okay,
week,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's a huge readership for this, and this is something that guys like us who have kids that are, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old love to give, our kids these comics. Are you really excited about the trade coming out, though?
Yeah, that's awesome. I just saw this week that the second trade is on Amazon already. For pre-order, it's like, man, that's so cool.
Nice. I mean, you still got a job.
Yeah, well, I did all those books already. So
okay. whenever you see volume 3, you can
volume
exhale.
3 is like, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Well, how long you want to do Tiny Titans?
Forever.
Yeah.
Until I'm 60, that'd be good.
Nice.
It's a 100 issue limited series.
It's limited to the amount that will be printed.
That'd be awesome.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, could there be a more perfect situation for you and to have fun with what you're doing? And I mean, your style is what it is, and they didn't ask you to change that.
No.
They just asked you to draw their characters in your style and write in your style of stuff. So I couldn't imagine a better situation for yourself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. And that's just the way stuff comes out of me when I draw.
Yeah.
I don't try to draw that way. I just draw, and it's how it looks. So that's so easy. I mean, I don't have to draw like anybody,
Right.
Like one guy asked me one time to do a commission, and he wanted me to draw Batman, but he said draw it like Neil Adams.
Neil Adams.
I could draw
over
that.
There.
I could draw that pose maybe, but it's gonna look like I did it.
That's whenever you say, "Do you have a business card?"
Yeah.
And he gives you the business card, and you draw a Batman head on the business card, and you say, "That'll be
$100."
Yeah, that'll be $100 because that's how Neil draws it.
I think it's funny when people walk up to somebody and ask them to draw something in the style of
someone else.
Yeah. Could you please draw this Batman like somebody else would draw them? Please?
Yeah. Well, and it's not like you're convention booths don't have your stuff all over them.
Yeah.
So you look. It's like, yeah, that guy.
This is the guy I'm going to get the Neil Adams.
That's the Neil Adams guy. I can tell. It's somewhere deep inside. He's got he's got that in him. But, yeah. That,
so that's why they bring a hammer to the show. If you hit me in the foot, maybe I'll draw something mad and angry.
So, yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what.
You know what? What I would love is for someone to walk up to Neil Adams and can you draw Batman, but like our Balthazar? Yeah.
He'll draw with his eyes closed.
The first time I met you, Chris and I met you was.
It was at a 3 a.m. Korean karaoke.
Yes.
Bar.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I walked away from that after meeting you and going, man, I think Art is maybe the most positive guy I've ever met in my entire life. And it just kind of blew me away. And then after going and reading some of the Tiny Titans stuff and going on your website and seeing that, I'm like, okay, this completely makes sense now because you are the perfect guy for that stuff.
See, it might have took 2 hours to get here. But it was just 2 hours, me sitting in a warm car listening to radio. Chilling. So that's how you look at it, hanging out, looking at people driving. Yeah, I was all right with that.
He lets other people turn in front of him all the time. That's why I took him to an hour. He's letting people in off the on ramps. Come on.
It's like it's below zero, but it's all right. I don't have to leave the house no more.
Yeah, there are some people out there that have trouble accepting that. There's one person who will remain nameless that's an often guest on the show that is an exclusive artist at DC who says Art Balthazar's got to have like dead bodies in his backyard.
Nobody's that happy.
Nobody's that happy.
Something's going on.
And I found out that night you are a fantastic tambourine player.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I got some rhythm. Yeah.
Did they have a tambourine at the karaoke place?
No, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Or did you bring...
I got one in my pocket right now.
Don't tell me you're so positive that you bring a tambourine with you.
I bought my kids bongos for Christmas.
Are you regretting
it? My two-year-old and my... Oh, she's three now. My three-year-old and five-year-old. No, not yet. They turn them upside down and play bozo buckets instead. That's what they're doing. So it's like, okay.
Are you kids starting to get into the stuff that you do?
Yeah, my boy's writing stories now. Every issue, Beast Boy turns into a zebra. So and then he says, Daddy, you should have like Robin walking down the street and he sees Batman and Superman and says, hi, guys. How you doing? And then they could say, hi, Robin. Oh, good. Okay, Batman, bye. That's his stories.
You need to punch that script.
I'm starting with something there. You know? At least Robin's in it, you know?
It's like, okay, we're going to run with that.
That's cool.
Well, that's another thing that I had heard on John's interview with you is kind of your collaborative process with your partner with your partner Franco, that you guys just kind of jam ideas over long telephone conversations.
Yeah. We talked yesterday and day before for a long time. It's like talk so long that first the Bluetooth goes out and then the phone starts buzzing. They're like, man, I gotta recharge, you know. But we talk a few times a week, usually Fridays, because he's like Friday's the best day because there's no deadline the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday or Friday we just write all night till Saturday morning, and as I'm drawing or coloring or something, he's writing and typing and all their ideas that we're talking about. So after he gets them all in order, and then he'll email them to me, and I'll make a whole script and a whole stories out of what we talked about. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you guys, I mean, there's Marvel style, and then there's, you know, scripts to art. I mean, there's different styles that have been developed over the years, but this is the Franco and Balthazar process. There's probably nobody else in comics.
No one in the history of comics does it this way, just me and Franco.
That's
it. And no one can.
No one ever will.
No one ever will.
Yeah. Yeah. Trademark, copyright, 2009.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got into comic art in the first place and illustration and stuff. You said you were born here in Southside.
Yeah, I was born in Chicago. Southside Chicago, about 2 miles from...
I can't tell from the accent.
It's either Canada or Southside. Yeah. Where are you from? Canada. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you from? I was raised in... Born in McKinley Park area near Bridgeport, by Sox Park, Comiskey, old Comiskey.
Go Sox!
And oh yeah, man, Sox fan, loyal. 2005, you know. And so I shouldn't have watched him in 2006. I was happy.
I was happy in 2006.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They signed Bartolo Colon yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
But
Freddie may be coming back.
I don't see. Well, anyway,
Freddie Garcia.
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Hope he doesn't dye his hair again.
I think Cologne could be all right out of
the
bullpen.
That's why he lost. Concentrating on the hair instead of the ball game. But anyway.
This show just changed completely.
Yeah, it's like sports talk.
Where's John? We need sports talk. 620. Yeah.
The score.
I was listening to ESPN on the air. But anyway. But, yeah, I was born outside Chicago. And went to school at Southside Chicago, and then I went to Columbia College downtown and for my illustration degree. And I remember this very clearly. I was going to graduate in like 2 months, and my teacher in senior thesis in design portfolio development told me I should change my major. And I was like, oh, man, I was so mad. And so
I know somebody who's getting a copy of the first Tiny Titans trade in the mail.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even bother. I walked away, didn't look back. But then so I wanted to draw comics forever. Even when I was a freshman in high school, I was in economics class, and a teacher asked me, she went down the line, said, we're going to ask everyone what they want to do for a living for the rest of their life. So when they got to me, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be a cartoonist. She said, no, what do you want to do for a living? I said, I want to be a cartoonist. She was, no, not what you want to do for fun. Like, what do you want to do to pay your bills and feed your family and have a career? I want to be a cartoonist. And so she said, we'll come back. And so I hear lawyer, fireman, doctor, you know, Art, you want to change your answer? No, I want to be a cartoonist. So I went to college, got the degree, and here I am thinking, based on everyone's life, like they get their degree and their paper and their diploma, they could walk in any building and show them their degree and their skills, and okay, you're hired, all right? But with cartooning, people never, ever asked me to see the degree, ever. They always say, well, let me see what you've done, what you've done. I said, well, I got this poster I made of Luke Skywalker, and I got this thing of a nude model I painted and all this stuff. So it was real tough. It was like a learning process, and you got to find out who you are as an artist. And so I knew I really wanted to draw comics. So in college, I took fiction writing and every kind of drawing class there is. I could draw anything, like models, still lifes, painted. I took airbrushing. I took all this stuff. Never, ever, 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 ever took any computer courses at all. And I used to type and do my homework on a typewriter and white it out and stuff. That was only 1992 I graduated. So, I mean, the computers were around. I just didn't need them. So I made my own comic book called The Cray Baby Adventures because no one would hire me. You know, I'd go to all these companies, Marvel, DC, and Dark Horse, and all these companies, even Comico and First Comics, they were here in Chicago.
Yeah, they were still around.
I interviewed with everybody, and no one, they all tell me go back to school or do something else, or you can't draw.
You didn't even have a degree.
Yeah. Like,
you don't want to be a lawyer.
And it's funny because I would do Batman pages and Spider-Man pages, and people always tell me, you're too cartoony, it won't work. It's like, man. So I just did my own cartoon and called it Cray Baby Adventures, and it was all cartoony. And then from there, I did Captain Camel, and I did Gyro Man, the character based on the sandwich, Gyros. and then after getting canceled by the distributors over and over and over and changing my company's names and getting canceled there and there, we finally, me and Franco put out Patrick the Wolf Boy. And I drew a little character in my sketchbook and named him. I think his name should be Patrick the Wolf Boy. And then we just talked about him. Same thing, how our style developed. We just talked about what the cool stories would be off this little drawing in my sketchbook. And that night, I started a comic, and I said, this is going to be my last comic, and then I'm going to just do something else. It's going to be the last draw, the swan song.
Really? This is it.
I should have made him a duck, you know? Yeah. I said, he's going to be a swan song. This is it. And so after my last comic sold 153 copies through three major distributors, I had Capital, I had Diamond, I had Heroes World, all these crazy Friendly Franks, I had nine distributors, I think. So the highest one was sold 153 copies. So I was going to forget Patrick, and he didn't even go to distributors, but somehow the distributor picked it up because we were so frustrated and so angry at everybody. So me, I was angry.
You know, I was going to say.
And so I just said, hell would I? I'm just going to make some comics to sell shows. And so I got a purchase order for Patrick for close to 4,000 copies of this one book. I'm like, wait a minute, don't they mean 40? You know?
It's a couple of zeros on there.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, is that what, you know? So then obviously, they're like, all right, let's make another one. Then make another one. So Wolf Boy Kit started coming out maybe six times a year, maybe.
When was that? What?
That was in 2000.
Okay.
And so that came out, and then in 2003 I got picked up by Disney for the Disney Adventures for Gorilla Gorilla. And then in 2007 was Tiny Titans. So it's kind of like, if it wasn't for the Patrick the Wolf Boy, was the last thing. Because if I didn't do that, I would still, I don't know, I'd still be living in a box. And so, a cardboard box, that is. But
not one of those fancy boxes.
between the years of 1992 and 2000, everything that you want bad to happen to you has happened to me. Well, being a single guy without marrying, and I forced myself not to have girlfriends or make babies and get married and all that because I had no money, you know. And then when I met my wife, I remember I had $40 in my pocket, and between my pocket and the bank, it was $40. And at that time, I wasn't hired by Disney yet, but I was in an animation studio in Chicago, and it was, I think, in 1999, 2000, 2001, somewhere around there. And I worked there for 6 months, and then people got elected president and laid off the whole company. So like, oh, so I voted for Clinton. You know, Gore it was who didn't win. Oh. Gore didn't win, so everyone went home.
Yeah, we already said this is our inauguration.
Yeah.
This comes out the day before the inauguration.
So at that time I was I had no money. I just lost my job, and then I went bowling with my parents because if I stayed home by myself, I would drive myself crazy. Because I had nothing, no career. I don't know what to do with comics. You know, I'm losing money left and right on comic books. Well, we were making some, but it wasn't make a living on. We bought computers with the first two issues of Patrick, so that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But I went bowling with my parents because their bowling team guy broke his foot. So he had a broken ankle. So I went to Phil's place. So when we went bowling, I'm bowling with my parents and all their friends, so I'm like, the kid, you know, in the group, like, hey, this is my son.
Want Manhattan?
You want a diet pop, son? You know? Dad, I'm 37. You know? So, and then I look over to Allie, and I saw this girl bowling, you know, with her friends. And I remember meeting her a bunch of times at different parties. And I can never talk to her because she always had a boyfriend around. And anytime I would talk to her boyfriend show up, it's like, oh, that's why we're not dating, you know? And so my dad saw me looking at this girl, and then he puts his arm around my shoulder and says, hey, you see that girl over there? I say, yeah. She's looking at you. I say, yeah, I know. She's smiling. Yeah, she is. He goes, come on, let's go meet her. So he took me over by her and said, this is my son, Art. She goes, I already know him. And then I was like, hey. And I was like, all right. And I said, she asked me, are you dateable now? I said, yeah, always been. She goes, good. Me too. Really? And then my dad pat me on the back, walked away. I gave her the business card, all cool. Here, baby. And then we went on a date, and I had no money, nothing. But it was cool.
That's Rose, your wife.
Yeah, Rose, yeah.
Who is,
that's how we met.
I met her right around Christmas, and she is an absolute sweetheart.
Oh, man. Yeah, she's cool.
I was telling Sal. She told me the story. I guess a few years ago about you going out to San Diego, and you had to, like, you know, stay in a. You guys didn't have much money, but you know, she was like, yeah, and I had to go out there, and he had to, like, stay in a hotel room with like 12 other guys. Yeah. But she was like, but we knew that he had to go out there to get his career going, and she just had this energy about how much she wanted you to make it and be able to capture your dream.
Yep.
And I was just like, man, that is the awesome comic book wife right there to be able to do that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of women, but that one's mine, you know. And when we got married, of course, I had no job. I had to get through her brothers. Oh, why do you want to marry her? She got a good job. She works in a bank. You got nothing. Like, yeah, but I don't need that. I want her. She don't need me. She wants me. So that's kind of cool. And then it was true. We had no money, and I didn't have no money. Come nothing. Zero. Nothing. So I always had all these other jobs that I kept quitting them because she said, "Are you happy there?" I said, no. So I quit. Are you happy here? No. So that's happened. I had $300, and I was able to get the airfare ticket to San Diego, and, like you said, stayed with 12 guys, and I walked around my portfolio, and people call it stalking, but I just watched the editors over there walking around, and I found a Disney editor. I wanted to talk to Disney or Nickelodeon because I wanted to get in the magazines, Nick Magazine or Disney Adventures. So I found the Disney guy after talking to my friends. Hey, who was that? Oh, he's from here. Here's his card. No, don't keep it. I'll get my own, you know? So I found in San Diego, I saw him coming down an aisle, and I squatted on a table, and then I opened a sketchbook and started drawing, and I called him over. He said, "Hey, dude, come here. And then he's like, what? And he said, "Hey, man, check out my portfolio. I'm the best in the room. After you talk to me, you can stop looking for an artist."
Then Neil Adams walks up and says, can you get away from my camera, please?
That's why the guy was asking for you to draw like Neil Adams.
We got an arm wrestling contest next month. No, anyway. But it was cool, and I asked him who he was, and he had a fake badge. He was like, I remember his name was like Freddy Voorhees. He combined two, like Freddy,
Krueger, and Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, he combined it, and it was, and I was like, "That's not your real name." He goes, "No, here's my card." And it was Disney, and I told him I didn't believe he's the Disney guy. It's no way, no, you're not him. You're too young, too good looking to work for Disney. You know, you can't be the boss. And so his partner was laughing. And so we exchanged cards, and I asked him if I could send him stuff. He said, "Yeah." I sent him something every week. Every week. I drew something in a napkin, put it in an envelope, sent it to him. Finally, about 6 months later, he offered me a freelance job. And it was weird because he called me like about 4:30 Friday evening. So we need this by Monday. And I handed it all in. And then they did that to me again. I handed it in. Then he offered me the Gorilla comic strip. And they were looking for a comic strip that was never before seen by anybody. A brand new character is never before seen. It can't be on my website. Got to be fresh, brand new. So I handed in like 13 ideas. And he said they asked a handful of guys. And out of all the guys, I was the only one who turned in more than one idea.
Wow.
And I said, "It's because I wanted the job." And he said there was a few ideas that went almost to the top, but I still don't know what those characters were. But so I got a whole bunch of characters I want to work on now. So I got about 300 something characters that no one's seen yet. And
I feel lazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I was just drawing. Hey, look at that big lump on the finger from drawing.
Wow.
Always got ink on me somewhere.
I tell you, I do have some convention questions for you, but first of all, I need to let everyone know about the Samuel L. Jackson's return in the sequel to the best-selling anime of 2007.
He did not segue that well.
Yeah, what was that? All of a sudden,
I gotta get the spot in.
Let's stop this poignant moment in art. Life.
Say what
story?
Again?
Draw me a gorilla.
You got some beverage to wash this down.
Come up with 13 new ideas.
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
Say what again?
Take your seat, Mr. Skywalker. He's too dangerous to be left alive.
Afro Samurai avenged his father and found a life of peace. This is a spoiler for the first.
Are these
for the
sponsors?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
But a beautiful and deadly woman is forcing him back into the game. She won't quit until Afro is schooled in the brutal lessons he dealt those who stood in his way. Starring Samuel L. Jackson and Lucy Liu, with new beats from RZA.
RZA, Jesus
RZA,
Christ.
You old white man.
I am
new beats from RZA.
Maybe it's called.
I am a 35-year-old white man.
Oh my god,
that's awesome.
How does that say
you're
RZA?
The minority now, you know. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Featuring 2 hours of extras. Get the Blu-ray and DVD or DVD
on clan.
2-pack choker. Get the Blu-ray and/or DVD on February 3rd. Afro Samurai Resurrection: One Brother, One Path, 1,000 Deaths. Visit AfroSamurai.com for more details.
2 packs of sugar. Do you know why?
Yeah. Bill Murray. Is that Bill Murray?
I don't know. Do you know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella?
Why?
For drizzle. That's going to be in Tiny Titans.
preview.
Tiny Snoop.
We were talking about conventions, and then I ruined your poignant moment. Sorry about that.
But, I was done.
Conventions, how have they changed for you in the last couple of years?
Man, that's so awesome. I got lines and people waiting for stuff in front of my table at conventions now. And this last Wizard Chicago show, one guy waited and finally got up to me and did a drawing from whatever, and he says, "You know, I waited an hour and a half in line, in your line today to meet you." And I told him, we should have came up last year. There was no line at all. He could have talked to me for an hour and a half. So they're crazy, phenomenal. And just the last year, I only had to pay for 3 shows, and I've been at like 12 of them. So it's kind of, it's crazy. It's just happening all of a sudden.
Is it fun? Is it fun kind of being more well known, or is there any part of you that kind of misses the anonymity of just
I don't miss any of that. I love it. Nice. It's perfect. It's awesome.
Well, it's different because comic book famous means that, or comic book famous is sort of just means that, like, a couple times a year you'll be locked in a gym with some people who know you are.
I'm going in. Yeah. Put away the brick, please. But it's cool because I'm a celebrity at the shows and all these different cities for a weekend. I get home, I still got to throw away the garbage and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, wives and kids are sleeping and got to be quiet coming in, you know, stuff like that. But it's cool being at the shows. And right now I'm going through a comic show withdrawal because I haven't been since, I don't know.
Were you going to New York this
year?
Yeah, I'll be there.
It's going to be awesome. It's
going to
rock.
For Friday, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Are you going to be able to stick around for our second show tonight?
Yeah.
Are you in? Okay, because
it took him 2.5 hours
to
get
in. Yeah, I know.
I got 10. See you later.
Bye. Bye. 4 hours in the car. Because I want to talk a lot more about this, but we do have some listener emails.
Are we live right now?
No, this is all recorded.
The pressure is suddenly lifted.
No.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
We had some listeners that sent in some questions for you, good sir. Nope. This one comes from Tim Rakerich, the Freaky Tiki on the forums. These questions are actually not from Tim. These questions are from Zoe Rakerich, his 4-year-old daughter.
Oh, yeah, Zoe.
Yep. Number one, why is Tara so mean to Beast Boy?
She don't like him. He's a pest.
She says in brackets, because he always seems to be so nice to her.
Yeah, she's just playing hard to get, really. Because if you look at sometimes there's a gleam of hope. Like I'm working on some children's books right now. And he turns into a science project, and it's all the rocks that she threw at him. So he turns into a science project, and at the end of the story, she goes, "Oh, you're into rocks?" So he caught her eye a little bit. So it's just like when kids think girls are icky and boys are icky. So that's it.
It's because she actually may like him.
Yeah, she might really like him. Yeah.
What is the name? I think we have a Beast Boy fan. What is the name of Beast Boy's puppy?
It's in issue number one on the doghouse. His name's Coco.
That's Coco. We have a Coco here.
Coco.
Actually, Coco. Oh, I think Mark took Coco. Coco's awesome. That's the dog that wants to rip Centris's throat out every time he comes in.
Yeah. Centris smells like sausage.
Oh yeah, he does.
He's got bacon in his pocket. Yeah. Sticks of sausage.
Sausage and lemonade.
Like now, a barbecue.
I want to see how you handle this one because this is a little. Tom may actually do better with this one. Why does Starfire have orange hair?
She's an alien. That's how they look on Tamarin.
Yeah. You're paying him
for this, okay. Too? There you go.
That's the right answer.
All right. I never should have doubted you all. Yeah. All right. And Tim wants you to know that that her favorite characters are, in order, Starfire, Beast Boy, Tara, Robin, Cassie, Wonder Girl, Kid Flash, and Speedy.
I don't like that Kid Flash is so low down on that list.
Yeah. If there's ever an animated series of Tiny Titans, I requested that Kid Flash talk real fast. It's like, hey guys, what are you doing? Want to go here?
What's going on?
Hey, you know I'm real hungry. I want to get some pizza. You're real fast.
Note from the dad. He says, I want to thank Art and Franco for creating a book that has so many female characters. Because of this simple factor, it makes Tiny Titans the single comic my daughter gravitates to without pause. It means so much to her that there's someone for her to relate to. Kudos to you, men.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
That's from Tim.
We wanted to make the number one girly book ever. You know, a girl's book, comics for all kids. Yeah,
I think you got it. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
The next one is from John Sokol, who's been a longtime listener to the show, probably from the beginning, and a very active poster on our forum.
Oh, yeah, John.
John's a good guy. And he says, if you could pass along that Tiny Titans is my 7-year-old son's favorite comic, and that my 10-year-old daughter, who told me she doesn't speak superhero, also loves Tiny Titans.
That's awesome.
He says, I get a chuckle out of the book each month, so he must be doing something right. I think John said that every time he gets mail that his kids ask him if it's Tiny Titans because he gets his comics delivered via the mail. So every time that he gets a package, they want to know if it's Tiny Titans.
I wish we could do a weekly comic of Tiny Titans, you know, called 52 Titans or something.
52 Titans.
That'd be awesome.
52 little Titans. Another summer vacation.
One every week of the summer.
A report card special.
Another note about John, because I think there are going to be a lot of people listening to this show that are looking for kids comics, and you can check out John's blog, and it's called Dad Blogs Comics, and you can find it at dadblogscomics.blogspot.com. And he left a little note here. It says, at Dad Blogs Comics, it's the usual mix of reviews and opinions with a twist. I review shipments from DCBS and the latest trade paperbacks, but I also review kids comics with his kids, letting them give their opinions on the books that they like. So
he's training his kids to be like loudmouth internet jerks.
I think I saw that website.
Yeah,
he might have emailed it to me even.
Cool. They love your stuff and other stuff like Allie and Corgi and the book one of the Brave and the Bold cartoon. So anyway, there's our emails. You can email the show at info@aroundcomics.com, and thank you to you guys for sending in questions for art.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. Oh yeah, Titans.
You read a lot of comics.
I go every Wednesday. Yeah. I've been going since like 1984.
No, what are you pre-crisis stuff?
Yeah, I got that. I got that too. My first issue was my first one I bought was I don't know what issue X-Men are on now, but I started with issue 169, where Kitty Pryde was all scratched by an alien.
Yeah.
And then
was that the Christmas issue?
No,
when Kitty's in the mansion alone during Christmas,
it might have been.
Might be.
And it was like a robot alien.
No, it wasn't.
It was like a robot alien.
Yeah.
And the first Spider-Man book I ever had was the Naked Gwen Stacy issue, when they cloned the Jackal clone Gwen Stacy, and he scratched Spider-Man, threw a table on him, and then it was in the next issue he found out he had to fight his clone.
That was the best. The original clone.
That was awesome. I loved it. I was only like 6, looking at a comic with a naked girl running around. I was like, man, I got to get more. This is awesome.
This is where it is at.
Me and my dad would always trace that Spider-Man getting scratched, I remember. So my original comic doesn't have a cover, and it has new staples in it, and it has pencil marks through the whole thing.
Cool, that's awesome. How comics should be, man. That's how comics should be.
I've been buying Hulk, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman. I'm a classic guy.
Yeah.
And X-Men, but I haven't bought X-Men in a long time. I like Wolverine with the brown outfit when he changed it.
Hey, Wolverine First Class. Where's it at? It's Fred Van Lennie, which I think that you would are you familiar with Fred's work at all?
I do not know who that is.
He did the Action Philosophers. He was involved with that.
Comic book comics.
And now he's doing a lot of the First Class stuff. But awesome. Real kind of that era, just kind of nails that stuff.
Brown costume.
Yep.
I hear a lot of Wolverine fans are really fixated on the costume issue. Like,
yeah.
There are people that really like the brown costume.
Yeah.
Hey man, that's Paul Smith. That was the costume whenever he was drawing it. The one cover where it's what's they used in licensing for years afterwards, where Wolverine's running right towards you, and then Rogue is in the background.
When you're in Japan.
Yeah, it's the black. It was awesome. Like all black, but then Rogue.
Best Rogue too, when she had the green costume with the hood.
Yep.
The short hair.
I didn't like it. I always thought Rogue always looked weird when she had the big curly . Everyone had, that was the era when everyone had
big
huge hair. And
she was on
the
cartoon.
In comics,
every
Tom.
Every dude had to have like a ponytail, how ridiculous. Yeah,
straps on their thighs. What's up with
straps? Put on
straps?
Your bomber jacket.
But I like
full body bomber jacket.
I like the costumes that make sense. Like Superman never changed, you know? He mentioned his pouch cape in the last issue.
Yeah.
And when the S on his back, on his cape, is a pouch, so he puts his costume in there.
Yeah.
And no, I know what I read. I read a book from the 70s. That's right. I just bought a book, and I read it.
He used to have pockets in his cape.
When he changed in the comic, he was dressed as Batman because Batman had to be somewhere.
That happens all. So that happened all switched. The time. All the time.
They Barbara constantly. Gordon was suspicious, so Barbara Gordon went into Bruce Wayne's dressing room or Batman's dressing room and found Clark Kent's ID on the floor. And he said that because. And then when he flew away, he looked in his pouch cape, and he saw the Batman costume was stuffed in there instead of his Clark Kent outfit. So he made a mistake.
Yeah, you know, that happened a lot. So where they constantly have to pose to be each other. But yeah, he used to have pockets in his cape, and his cape could stretch to unlimited whatever was necessary
that was
for
awesome.
The story.
I know I knew that from a long time, and I just read. And they also did that the Batman Superman annual where they fought Deathstroke.
Yeah.
They mentioned that in there too. That was terrific. I was reading that and. Yeah, totally a pouch cape. There it is.
He's got a pocket somewhere.
Yeah. Where's he going to keep his bus pass?
Yeah.
You know?
Even in the movie when he jumped out of the window, where's his clothes go?
They
disappear on the way down. Yeah.
Well, I have a feeling that that next week when Art's on with us, that we're going to talk a lot more about comics. But I tell you what, let's go ahead and wrap this one up.
Already?
Yeah, we're at an hour.
All right.
Yeah, so I know.
Went by quick.
I know. Zip by. So like whenever I say Art, whenever I say next week, you don't have to come back next
week.
We're going to record episode.
We record a second episode.
I was like, man, I got to go drive 3 hours again.
We'll see you later. Hope you don't mind coming back.
You can start at 9 next week. I can get her in like a half hour. Gotta leave during rush hour.
Before we go, I want to remind everyone about the Hero Initiative. We are, as always, proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. Thanks again to everyone from our Hero fundraiser this year. Raised a lot of money and did a lot of good. So
awesome.
Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for our iTunes music reviews. Here's our Canadian call out. We're thanking our Canadian
thanking
listeners.
Thanking the Canadians.
Thanking the Canadians
this week.
They have
computers
week.
Up there?
Yes, they do. Yes,
do they submit their reviews via letter to Apple? And then they
Pony Express.
Delivered by Mounties.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We want to thank. yeah, but they still have silly screen names up there. So I'll try and get through some of these.
It's all like Wayne Gretzky 11, Wayne Gretzky 12,
are actually
Wayne Gretzky 13.
A lot of our forum members are iTunes reviewers here. Rate Neff. Pete Bonk, Jake A4, C Nil, Sean Zilla, Choi 23, The Brad Guy, Colonel Two Sheds, that's a forum guy, Troy Toffsrud, huh? Son of Puck, Sunnyvale Trash.
Son of Puck.
Never Sunnyvale Trash. I've heard that one before.
It's from a Canadian TV show, I believe. He had said it on the forum.
Okay. I was just making fun of Sunnyvale Trash.
Work on your delivery. Of
I know
your
it's bad. I'm not the funny guy. It's because you haven't been here for a while, Tom. I've had to try and fill.
You've gotten a lot less funny.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to fill the humor vacuum.
2009 is the year. Blame the listeners.
Blame the listeners. Yes, my delivery on that was Sunnyvale Trash's fault.
Oh yeah, Canada.
And Doom Tune. So I have a feeling a lot of those folks are Toronto way and maybe coming down for the New York Comic Con. So check out
no
Art's
French
booth.
Canadian listeners.
Do you have a booth number yet, sir? Or do you know?
No, we're somewhere over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do want to the shipping date on the trade.
It's the Wednesday before the show. I think it's the 4th or the 5th February.
4th or the 5th of February.
It must be the 4th.
And then you have, for folks here in the Chicago area that want to meet you in person, you have an event down at Challengers coming up, right?
I do. February 14th is Tiny Titans Appreciation Day.
Oh, it's
Valentine's
Day. There's going to
be costumes and painting, and I'm going to be wearing a cape. And I heard that Principal Slate's going to be running a store with his partner Trigon.
So you mean like a cape different from the cape you're wearing right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a fancier dress. Yeah.
Is it going to have a pouch?
It's my store signing. Yeah.
Will it have a pouch
all
in
my
it?
Capes got pouches. Yeah.
If you're buying a cape without pouches. A pouch, you just got ripped off, my friend.
Screwed. This stuff that folds flat. It's hard to carry shoes. Because when you run, you like kick yourself in the back the whole time. You know?
So Challengers Comics, February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. Come on over and meet Art Balthazar there.
That's right.
Drop by the forum. We mentioned the forum a lot tonight.
We're shutting it down, as Tom and I discussed this afternoon.
Not enough
Twitter.
People on there.
So we're just closing
it down.
Not enough
discussion.
And it may just lead to the end of the show.
Yeah, it could be.
So
you have to blog.
We have a blog. We have an Around Comics blog. Nobody reads.
I read it.
I only post. Oh, do you actually read,
I read it? Yeah, I read it.
You go to artbaltazar.com.
You're supposed to post to it.
I didn't know.
He's trying to plug.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We're having a narcissism moment over here.
That's all right. Art.
Actually, yeah, definitely go visit Art's website because it's there's a lot of great stuff and there's fantastic art all over it, and you can find out and a lot more about Art's work and buy it from there and go now.
You got it. And you can also listen to Tom a couple times a week on Tom versus the Flash as he walks you through the history of the DC Universe one comic at a time.
Good ones. We had some good ones this past week. A lot of the Trickster. A lot of, it's good. A lot of Gardner Fox.
I'm not caught
You ever
up.
Talk about Terror Man? That cowboy used to shoot Superman?
That's where I don't think he shows up in The Flash, though. I did. The Tio Morrow was in this week. So
the Weather Wizard?
Yeah, Weather Wizard's coming up. He always shows up. Tio Morrow, the whole fact that, like, in the DC Universe, if you name your kid something, like, Trickster's named James Jesse, and somehow he became obsessed with Jesse James. Tio Morrow's Thomas Oscar Morrow, and he became obsessed with the future because his name was Tomorrow.
Well, yeah, your name means
it's like apparently
it's who
you
are.
Need to be really careful about how you name your kids because they will get twisted if you have like the wrong
with
name.
The name Oscar Morrow, he could have been infatuated with like hot dogs
and
money.
Exactly. Instead, he was like Tio Morrow, Tomorrow.
Or Tomorrow. The future.
Or the fact that he seems so disappointed that instead of a time machine.
I just got that.
Tio Morrow.
Wow, that you're not good with the letters, RZA, Tio Morrow.
I just
featuring
got...
Beats by RZA
and Tomorrow.
I'd always read it Tio Morrow or said it Tio Morrow. It's
Tomorrow.
Well, it is Tio Morrow, but it's Tomorrow.
And he's obsessed with the future, and that's why he built the TV to see into the future.
Good
he
word
tried to build a time machine, but it didn't work out.
Well,
hey, at least I admitted it, right?
Just because he's got the name doesn't mean he's all that bright.
Yeah.
No, and he's not good with safety railings.
Should build
so you'll
when
find
it goes
out
1 minute into the future.
You can hear once a week me being even stupider than this on 11 o'clock comics, home of Dingus Dave, right?
Hooray.
Yeah.
You fell asleep. What?
L Dave, who frequents the 11 o'clock forums, is sitting over here tonight in Dark Tower. And also check out our buddies over at iFanboy. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Art, sorry it took so long for you to drive down. So, but thanks for driving.
No kids in a car.
There you go. And we will have you on next week, so everyone come back and listen to more of Art's thoughts on comics. Thanks for Sal and Tom and Mr. Mark Beatty, as always, for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with another new episode. In the meantime,
the in-between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Oh, yeah, man.
I can't believe we said RZA. It's like my dad.
That was awesome.
Tio Morrow. What does that spell?
Hey, it's
is that a...
I like Radiohead.
Is that an anagram? Is that Radiohead?
I'm going to name my kid Y.E. Ersterday.
It's been a long week, man. It's been a long week.
Cool. I'm trying to put a
Y.E. Ersterday.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written content of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production. Copyright 2009.
We edited out all of Art Balthazar's crazy political rantings.
It's not our views. It's not our views.
No, it's not us.
Endor 2012. We need to open up that animation studio again. We need to make more cartoons.
The Mayan calendar ends in 2012.
Watch out for the meteor. But it might give you powers. It might be a good thing. It'll turn
the
whole Earth radioactive. People will be flying
into
space.
Night of the Comet. Maybe.
Right.
Be like, remember that movie? Night of the
Awful.
Like Vandal Savage.
Just become immortal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all right.